Welcome to the Certainty Roundtable podcast, designed for those advisory teams preparing for the fast emerging new era of financial advice in Australia. Hosted by Jim Stackpool, founder of Certainty Advice Group, with over 30 years experience advising advisory firms, the Certainty Roundtable podcast brings together the growing group of Certainty Advice firms as they share their insights, experiences, as they attract, attain, price and manage their valuable advice clients and advisory teams. Now, here is your host, Jim Stackpool.
G'day, Jim Stackpool here with another in our round table series, and this time on a topic I'm really passionate about, which is minimum pricing. Once firms are through their first 12 months of getting going and proving they've got a good proposition, clients like it and clients are starting to come back, it's really important that clients adopt a very strong management approach to their minimum pricing, because I think it's one of the core drivers of productivity. It's quite easy to construct a minimum price for a new client, but quite often there's a legacy base which needs to be equally managed, but it's always tougher because past clients have bought a past proposition at a past price, but firms grow and develop at greater rates, and therefore that price changes, as does the proposition, and this is tough. And so this management of existing client, and particularly its effect on the capacity of a firm to deliver, not the cost, we might call them profitable, but it's a capacity issue more than a cost issue. And as we enter this new era of financial advice, it's really, really important to be able to focus, manage, and work on minimum pricing. Check it out. Minimum fees. We're all talking, obviously, the context, what we're talking about is comprehensive advice. That's the basics to how do we do minimum fees, and we're providing comprehensive advice as our main business model. So that's a core fundamental discussion point and basis to unbiased everything we're doing. But as we treat clients their whole financial lives, and as we build and grow our businesses, it raises an issue about how we maintain these at a minimum pricing that helps us grow and helps the clients grow as well. How do you guys do minimum fees?
Previously, we've sort of got there in a roundabout way. Probably more of a gut feel approach. But now we're just trying to put a bit more rigor behind it and I suppose get some consistency in pricing.
I just look at what I think I'm worth. Whether it's successful or not is questionable, but I just keep coming back to what I think is involved and how much I think I'm actually worth to engage.
So the advice model is clients who have high complexity at the top and clients that have got low complexity at the bottom. Every client has to have complexity. Otherwise, they won't be getting advice, because we think the driver of advice is not fun, but it's complexity. And over here, we have clients who are what we call the comprehensive client, who does come to us for all matters financial and sees us as a central point of call. It's a principal advisor proposition, which is very much our thinking and our approach. And over here, we have a more of a transactional or an event-based client. Again, might be a great relationship, like the knee surgeon type approach, but it's not as comprehensive as this model over here. And so we have these four different segments, and we're going to be talking about these four different segments today. And so when we're talking about minimum pricing, this box up here is the specialist box, where we place specialists to help people through an aged care event or for a specific retirement event or for a specific loss or an inheritance event. And then once we've played the specialist and we've been as a specialist, then we either inherit them as a ongoing, we become a bit more of a supplier advisor. We've done the hard work, and then some clients might shift down here to be this supplier client, but it's still not comprehensive. We don't know everything about them. We don't know intimately what their partners want. We don't know all the different aspirations they have and all the different complexities. We do know everything surrounding specifically the event we looked after. I call this the medical knee surgeon at the top, and this is probably more a general practitioner to a certain extent down here. And on the right-hand side, we have our preferred model, which is where we're acting and being what we call a principal advisor, where it is complex and we are playing comprehensive. And the bottom right is where we're playing the managing advisor. And so where does minimum fees come in? Ideally, again, just a split, 10% of the clients are here, 10% of the clients are here. Ideally, no more than 20 are there and 60% of the clients are here. And so we're talking minimum pricing, this makes sense, but we're talking minimum pricing. We have this grid, had this line that sort of goes around here. And so the minimum pricing area covers all except the principles. So we're looking at what's that price below which we won't go, whether we're doing specialist, supply work, or even management work. The one carve-out, which is really, really important and never gets into this whole conversation, for me to put it somewhere, maybe here, is pro bono work. I don't know if you can see that. But let me put it here. Pro bono work. And these are clients that you will look after even if they didn't pay you anything. So the minimum pricing conversation is whether I'm doing a specialist bit of work, I have a minimum. Whether I'm doing supplier work, I have a minimum. Or even if I've had clients for a long time, unless they're pro bono, I also have a minimum. I just want to quickly cover some fundamental myths first about this whole concept. Then I want to share with you a core tool about how we manage it. And so a couple of the myths. People often say, well, these clients aren't costing me much. And I think the key issue we have, and this is whether I've started up just this year or next year or whenever, the key issue we have with minimums is that cost is very different from capacity. And the issue that we all have, I believe, is over the next 5-10 years, is I don't think we're going to have a lack of demand. Now, I know in the first 12 months, it might be tough in terms of getting clients and actually getting out, or even as we're finding Mandy transitioning from one model to another. But over time, we want to make sure we're managing not just our costs, but really managing capacity. And so even though we might feel that those swagger clients that are round about minimums or below are not costing us much, the issue is the capacity aspect of them, not so much the cost of them. We might be making a bit of a profit, but we generally are not making enough profits to fund our growth. So we can never use this argument if we're building a comprehensive advice firm that those clients aren't costing because they don't make a contact. It's an issue about capacity. Sometimes the other is they're my most loyal clients. And I think this is what Mandy was getting at. What are we now worth? Because the client sees us worth as X and now we have to be worth Y. But our combat back is, are we actually serving their best interests? And so keeping some of these loyal clients on, are we really serving their best interests? Is there another group, organization, cause, support mechanism that can better sort us with us? And are we serving our own best interests? And so the loyal client has to come down to a commercial conversation, we believe, centered around best interests, because sometimes their best interests may be better served as the development of robo-advice and other advice becomes cleverer and smarter. They can be actually better served without the personal touch and the cost that comes with it. So our minimums need to go out, or we outsource those clients to other services, of which we're seeing more and more develop. This classic myth that all minimum clients have potential. Focus is much more important than potential. We've all got, people talk about the potential they have when they start earning, when they start to get to the middle, and they'll grow with me. We don't have time. We want to make profit out of every client every year, unless they're pro bono, when we think their profit number is about 40%. So we're actually, firms need focus more than they need potential. I think the potential is everywhere and generally in the top 20% of our client base, not in those around minimum. Another myth is all business is good business. Well, Kirsten, maybe, but once you're through that first year, all business is not good business. Once you're through the first year, we have to get much more selective with actually who does represent the value I want to deliver and how do I determine that value? How do I determine that price? Once you've proven you're good at it, you like the model, the clients are coming back, you're getting a good run on it. Once you're through a first year of a transition, all business is not good business. And they are my pro bono clients, provided you're capping your pro bono at 10%. If you've got 100 clients on your base and 10 of them are pro bono, that's about the maximum you can take. Any more, and then you're going to need pro bono, because you won't have the capacity to look after them. Pro bono is different from potential too. Now, the key thing about minimum is our clients are clients for life. This is old thinking, unfortunately. Clients are clients for as long as there's value for both parties, both us and for them. We never, so again, we're coming to the habits, we never promise if there's anything I can ever do, don't hesitate to call me. I think that's setting up an expectation. As long as we're valuable, then we'll keep working together. As long as it's valuable for you, we'll keep working together. But in the old line, if there's anything I can ever do, don't hesitate to call me. I can understand why we might say that stuff. We've got to be very, very careful with the expectations we're setting, because they will jack up against our minimums because our firms will always grow quicker than their ability to pay the fees that need us to continue to fund our growth. My junior team, I'll bring on some juniors to look after my minimums. Never do this. Juniors actually progress better by working with seniors. And so whilst I understand when we go through transition phases, we may need people to work on that transition as clients come across, but juniors will progress and become more productive. Our firm become more productive if those juniors are working with seniors, not working with minimums, repeating the careers of the seniors they're trying to follow. Times have changed, margins have changed, compliance has changed. We cannot longer have a cost to serve model where our juniors are just working on the minimums, hoping to find the potential and cutting their teeth in their experience. Juniors cut their teeth and experience on seniors and supporting them and making them more productive. A 10 or 20% improvement in productivity of a senior is far better than 100% improvement in productivity of a junior, because the seniors are actually being supported by juniors actively. How do I determine pricing? We use models like this. And so we need to continually job mix our capacity and job mix the cost we need to put on that, and then determine from that our minimum pricing. And so this is a very simple capacity. So we don't believe in cost to serve. We need a capacity to fund. It's a really important point. We don't believe in cost to serve models because we don't grow by profits. We grow by capacity and funding. And so profits itself is good, but tiny profits don't help us the funding growth we need. What we're after is making sure we're managing our capacity. We're not overloading our capacity, and it is priced to fund our growth, which is trying to get a profit figure, but it starts with capacity. But this here is a job mix. And so this is, and I've just broken up into very broadly four different types of jobs, the complex job. And so again, going back to that spreadsheet, where I broke those four different segments, that's what we are now looking at into our model, into this, these different four different jobs. And then when I go through each of these four different jobs, an estimate number of clients for each of those type of jobs, this particular firm, the model gives me a job estimate. I then put on my own estimates, which is, and this is where I play around. This segment here, going back to Kirsten's first point, that's where I play around with my minimums. And again, it's like any modeling. It's where I just play with my modeling and it generates a revenue number. This is, though, this is what Mandy was just talking about, capacity. And so at this current mix, if we start looking across the fictitious four people in this firm, we notice that at this mix of work, we've got three of the four people overloaded in terms of their capacity. And so by playing around both with the mix of clients we've got and by playing around with the estimates, what we think our minimums should be, and these are minimums, we can need to get these numbers over here down out of the capacity, out of overcapacity, and red is overcapacity. What we have above this model is simply just the breakdown. So at the top, we've got this is what the firm needs to earn for the year in terms of very simple. This is the firm's revenue target for the year. This is the firm's cost for the year. Here's a breakdown of the teams we've got, the salaries we're paying. And here is the breakdown we've got of how much time is available on the clients. And we're showing that three out of these four roles are getting overloaded on this capacity model at that pricing. So for us to make this number, which our target number of $750,000 in revenue, we can see that these models, this mix of work is giving us, actually, it's not even giving us 750, it's giving us 707. So we need to start playing with our minimums and also our mix of clients to not only lift our pricing to 750,000, but to play with the capacity to get these people over out of this overcapacity because we're actually putting too much effort onto them.
So next year, I'm going to go with minimum first year fee of 15,000 and minimum ongoing fee of 10,000. Our style has always been to try to get a lot of the hard work done and the setup of the strategy in the first year, and then it falls back to an ongoing service model. I mean, are you okay with that whole minimum first year, minimum ongoing? Is that something you ever promote?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I think the issue is probably brought out at the beginning is the legacy promises that have been there below those minimums. And so as long as your minimums are going to give you the 40% profitability and make sure that no one's working ridiculous hours and you get it's reflecting that your fee tension, you're winning most or all of the clients, then your minimums are sort of going to be measured and settled by the marketplace. If no one's accepting a 10,000 ongoing, then because something is wrong with the proposition ongoing, or no one's accepting a 15,000 minimum up front, something's wrong with the proposition. But yeah, knowing your business, I don't think you'll have a problem with that. The issue is just the juggle between the clients that came on when the minimums were 5 and 6 and 7 and 2, and maintaining that balance and having that capacity to both look after the clients who've got old propositions as well as the new minimums. Minimum price manages productivity, a productivity of a common firm. So we're not working ridiculous hours. We're maintaining a fee tension between clients that will take the value and clients that won't, and hopefully that's a majority. And we're also ensuring that we're getting the profits we need to fund the growth that simply the baby's going to need as it starts growing. Capacity management is harder than cost management. And so that's Mandy's first. Capacity management is much harder than cost management. Managing our talent and their capacity. And COVID has taught us one thing. We've got to be flexible with capacity. And so we have to respect, we can't force people to work the hours the founders may have worked if we expect them to stay and foster and build a really great firm. And so we also can't expect them to overwork and have consistent deadlines brought upon by just too much success and too much work. Capacity management's tough. And that's what this model's trying to do, manage that capacity as best we can. We are working, I believe, in comprehensive advice to a less is more model. We'll be working with less, but doing a lot more for them and being that center stay and building that one promise, one brand, one firm that does that. Advice leadership means serving every client's best interest, because sometimes it actually means we can't serve your interest any better. Some other group might be able to do it. They won't do it as well as we can, but we can't afford to do it because they're going to be an anchor that holds us back for our potential and potentially starts creating far greater dependencies on us. And we don't build a firm we're potential of. We build a firm we feel like we're obliged to build. And lastly, the client relationship must be valuable for both the clients and the advisor. So it's a two-way street. It's not clients for life. It's clients as long as they're valuable.
So there you have it. What do you think? Minimum pricing. It's a tough topic, particularly because it's not an objective. It's a subjective conversation about value and worth. It's also changing some of the parameters and boundaries around which, particularly with the long-term loyal clients, may have been used to operating in. And what they may have been paying would be seen as expensive and fair, but for no other reason that the firm has developed, that may no longer be adequate in producing value for the firm. And it's tough, but it's part of growth. Growth is tough, and this is one of the tougher conversations to have as minimum prices need to shift. Managing it is crucial, and quite often the advisor who might be driving the business is sometimes too close to effectively manage it. This session hopefully provided some tools in showing that minimum pricing by itself has to be taken into the broader conversation about capacity and revenue targeting, what we're hoping to achieve. For without it by itself, it becomes too relative to what others may be charging, which we don't think has really any strong bearing on the minimum pricing to grow your firm. Minimum pricing, it's a really core topic that needs management. It's tough, but like all good advisory firms, growth is tough, but the benefits are there. I'd love to get any feedback you've got from this session and any session, any suggestions you've got for future sessions. Jim Stackpole signing out. Take care.
Thank you for listening to the Certainty Roundtable podcast with Jim Stackpole. To access the material from today's show or to join in the conversation, head to www.certaintyadvicegroup.com. We'd love to hear your feedback, questions and opinions. Working together, we hope to achieve a lot more for more Australians. CertaintyAdviceGroup.com.